Hi, and welcome to the What's Your Story podcast. I'm Missy Day, and with me today are my partners, Michelle Hausbeck and Jason Gardner. And our special guest is Aaliyah Johnson, coming to you live from Tennessee, my personal favorite state. So, Michelle, go ahead and tell them about yourself.
Hi, I am Michelle Hausbeck, and like Missy said, I'm a partner in crime of Storyfest and What's Your Story. I handle a lot of the brand assets, and I am just in love with storytelling. So I'm very proud to be part of this ministry. So I'm going to hand it over to Jason.
Hi, I'm Jason Gardner. I'm also a member of the What's Your Story family. Happy to be here with Michelle and Missy and Aaliyah today. I handle some of the more technical aspects, such as the website and monitoring the speaker bureau. I'm really excited to hear Aaliyah's story. We got to hear her share at our Storyfest last September, and she's an amazing storyteller. So, Aaliyah, tell us about yourself.
Thank you. Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Aaliyah Johnson, and I'm grateful to be a speaker in the Speakers Bureau for What's Your Story. I am a recovering addict and alcoholic. I have been clean and sober since May 16th, 2012, and really just wanted to use my past as an asset to help other people. So, took my past pain and turned it into purpose. So I'm here, and I'm excited to be here with you all and get to share some more of the story.
Well, first and foremost, we have to talk about something that's very important that you did.
Yes, let's talk about it.
And that's you wrote a book.
I did write a book. Yes. It's still trying to get through my mind that I am a author. It has been quite the dream of mine. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be an author. Granted, it looked very different, my image then and my dream then, as it did end up transpiring into being more of a memoir about recovery, mental health, and addiction. So I'm very excited about that. It has been a long time coming, and it will be out and available for purchase in July.
Yay.
I know, I'm very excited.
And what is the name of the book?
It is called Caffeine, Nicotine, and a Dream, an Audacious Memoir. So it's very juicy, everybody. It's got no topic left unturned. I believe that sharing your story is about connection and vulnerability, and sharing those vulnerabilities and experiences with others, and being able to have the hope and healing that you're not alone on your journey, and there is somebody with you, and it's just a matter of walking that path together to live a better life that we have for ourselves and what our purpose is for this world.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about you as a storyteller, and I can't wait to read the book because you keep using the word juicy.
Yes.
And just hearing you speak, I know what this juicy means. A lot of the times people tell their stories, and I get you don't want to go in the nitty-gritty details of everything, but you give us some nitty-gritty
I
details,
do. I
you
do. I am very
know. You answer the questions that were like, well, what happened?
I do. And I have always really lived boldly, and I understand that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. And I learned that when I was in middle school. And I am very strong-willed. I am somebody who lives my life out loud, because I feel like, especially in my addiction, I just went through the motions, right? And it felt like I was surviving. And after I got into recovery and started to heal those certain things and those certain aspects of my past, I realized that you could actually thrive in life, and being able to experience the difference between surviving and thriving. And I think for me, I want to be able to lean into those uncomfortable conversations, because they're not conversations that are had. And even when I got sober back in 2012, the behavioral health space has evolved. The world has evolved. I mean, we went through COVID. There's been so many different things that have come out of that. And I think that there's nobody really who leans into the tough conversations, yet we all have things in our lives that, whether we talk about it or not, that affect us and that impact us. And being able to live boldly is something that I have always done. And I'm not going to stop now. And I think, I have learned in my own recovery journey about authenticity and how important it is to be authentic and to feel those things and to be able to have those connections. And I'm not scared to rip that band-aid off and have that tough conversation. I am one of those people where I would rather say I tried it and it didn't work than sit back and say, I wonder what that would be like. So I jump into life with both feet.
I love that. That is definitely true.
Yes. And sometimes it's successful, and other times it is a huge learning experience, and both have growth in them, in my opinion. You know, the one constant in life is change, and we can either roll with it or we can resist it, and I choose to roll with it.
So where did you come to get your name of your business, the Audacious Ally?
Well, bold, audacious is living boldly, and that has that definition. And you know, for my recovery, when I first got sober, I did start speaking in jails, and I started sharing my story at domestic violence shelters, and really being able to advocate and be an ally for people who are going through it that maybe, you know, didn't know where to turn or didn't have, you know, the strength in their voice to move forward or to address any of those things. And, you know, I didn't at first either. I was very quiet at first, if you can imagine that, because there was a lot of shame that was carried with different things that happened to me and different experiences that I went through that I wanted to be able to advocate for other people, just like I had to advocate for myself to get myself here. So I kind of put the two together and got the Audacious Ally, and here we are.
I love the name. Love the name.
You. It's fun.
Aaliyah.
Go ahead.
So Aaliyah, if you know, being bold, confident, unapologetic is such a key piece of who you are. And to what we've already talked about, that I think that's why those stories resonate so much. If people wanted to start breaking through the bubble and become more bold, confident, unapologetic, where might they start?
Taking time for themselves. You know, I feel like our hustle and bustle culture has taught us to do more, be more, strive more. And that's not the case. You know, that's what's causing burnout and, you know, suicide rates and mental addiction rates going up. And it starts with getting back in touch with yourself and really being able to know that you are a priority in your life. And I feel like, at least for me, one thing that I had to shift was I poured so much energy into other people that I didn't have enough energy to pour into myself, nor did I have the time to do the things that brought me joy or do the things that build my confidence, whether it be, you know, grounding myself outside or doing a Pilates workout or, you know, eating healthy and nourishing our bodies. I feel like with our culture today, it is so go, go. And it starts with us, and we have to kind of move ourselves around. I always refer to four burners, like the burners on the stove. You've got to move yourself to the front burner and let yourself just burn and evolve and grow and take that time to put the energy into yourself the same way you pour into other people. So it starts with you, and I think being able to focus on the things that you do have in your life that you do have confidence in, add more of that, you know, add more of what makes you confident in your life and really be able to prioritize the things that do make you confident and do make you comfortable in your own skin, because then that will have a ripple effect to every other areas of your life.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Comfortable in your own skin. I think that's I don't know, that phrase just hit me, because I think a lot of people don't feel comfortable no matter what they've been through in life or what they're going through. Do you know, you've done a lot of work, obviously, and you have I think you have your process, right? I would say, do you ever feel uncomfortable nowadays? And if you do, how do you kind of work through that?
There is a couple aspects of my life that, you know, I do get uncomfortable in, and that has to do with just, you know, letting me know that I still have healing work to do, right? You know, I have different things that happen in my life, and I have a tendency to not receive. You know, like for with this book, let's use this book as a prime example. You know, I submitted it to some different panels, and I've gotten some editorial reviews back, and they're amazing. And they are, you know, the people that have read it thus far, it hit them in the heart, and it impacted them. And I had editors call me and just share how relatable it was. and how they think it can be a really great thing. And while I know that it's a great thing, I struggle with receiving the good and just kind of taking the pause to have that come into my heart and my soul and be able to feel that and to receive that. Because in my life, I was used to, when you're used to disappointment, that disappointment's kind of what you start to expect, unfortunately. And when things go well, I have really, in this last couple of years, even with writing this book, had to practice that pause and be able to receive the goodness and to receive the fact that I'm enough and I deserve good in my life. And I have to ground myself in those moments to be able to acknowledge it first and then be able to accept and receive it. So that's one aspect of my life that I do get uncomfortable in, and I'm learning. I'm learning and I'm growing just like everybody else is. And I think that will be a really beautiful thing. It's just going to take me a minute to start to receive it a little bit more, and having happiness and all of that sort of stuff too that comes along with living boldly and putting myself even more out there. It's receiving that love back that I so freely give to other people.
So lately, I know that you've been trying new things, and it seems like you are always trying new things and never want to be stagnant, right? So share with us some of the new things you've been doing.
So I launched my business at the beginning of this year. So I've been doing some more navigation of public speaking. Obviously, with my book coming out, that has been really great. I've started to get really creative with my blog posts too, which is something that I didn't think I would do. So that kind of is my brand wise, but personally, I went last year and end of last year, beginning of this year, got my hunting and fishing license for the state of Tennessee. So now I can go hunting and fishing, and I actually killed my first turkey during turkey season this year. I harvested my first turkey and have been fishing. And so it's fun. Life is about learning, and I think life is about living. And when I first got sober, I made a bucket list of things that I wanted to do, and even things that I did that I was too drunk to remember. I've put some of those back on there and just really am kind of, I know they say a bucket list is for people who are dying. Why can't we have a bucket list for the living and seize what this world has to offer us if we just grab it? So I am a huge advocate for trying new things, even if it's kind of silly sometimes. But I love it. I love it. I love trying new things.
What's one new thing on the list that you haven't done yet that you're looking forward to trying?
That I haven't done yet. Cooking and baking, those are two things that I never really have gotten into. I have a friend who used to joke with me. I'd say, "I'm so good, the fire alarm cheers for me." So, I want to be able to not have my house burn down in the process of that. So, I'm really excited to go through some of that. I would love to take a cooking class outside of home economics. When I was in fifth grade, I've never taken a cooking class, so I'm looking forward to that. I even for Christmas this year, y'all, bought myself a cookbook. Just a simple recipe cookbook, and I'm giving it a whirl. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to bake too. I would love to be able to bake like a chocolate pumpkin bread. And so,
I love baking.
there's just so many things that, you can bake that you can buy it everywhere, but why not try to make it yourself?
It's got TLC in it when you bake
Got
it
some
yourself.
TLC in it. Yeah, exactly. That's so true. It's got some TLC in it.
That's
I love
right.
that. I love that. I'm going to be sending you a loaf of bread that has some TLC in
I
it
was
for
going to say,
sure.
I would like a loaf of
I
bread when you
love
bake it. I'll even
it.
try your first loaf.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, great. I'll send it to you.
Feel like
Yeah,
there's a
I'm
What's Your
excited about
Story
that.
cookbook coming. There's got
Oh
to be
my
one.
gosh, what's your story cookbook? Yeah. Well,
That'd
and
be
in the
fun.
fall, I'm really looking forward to duck and deer hunting season too. Those are two things that I am looking forward to, because I've, learned in the process of, harvesting turkey and catching fish, it's a food source, and it literally being able to learn kind of all of the process that goes into that as well has been a really fun experience for me to really understand the process of what that is and how it can be such a great resource for us when we can harvest ourselves and be able to make things in our own time and with our own things that we have caught.
Yeah. Yes, my husband is obsessed with you.
Oh, well,
No, we tried the whole like hunting and fishing thing, and I was just like, no, that's not me.
Yeah. It's my first year and I am excited about it and I am enjoying it and I'm enjoying, you know, I've always been really big into nature and hiking and camping and kayaking and you know, I wakeboard and I water ski and hunting is just a different element of nature. And so it's been really nice to just go out in the mornings at 4 o'clock and sit there and watch the sunrise and hear the sounds of nature and see the deer and see the turkeys. It's brought a whole new level of appreciation for nature, I will say that.
Well, if the end of days come and we can't buy food, I'm heading to Tennessee.
Right. Yes. And I have 4 bedrooms in my house, so come on out. There's plenty of room.
What's your favorite thing? So you've been in Tennessee how long now?
I've been in Tennessee 4 years now.
So what's your favorite thing about living in Tennessee?
It's hard to pick one, Missy. I would say just the vibe and the culture, the history, the music. I love a good country concert. I love a good music venue. So I would say music and just the people. The Southern hospitality is unmatched and it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous here. I love being back in a place where I have four seasons. So I didn't just pick one, I just gave you seven. It's hard to pick just one. It really is hard to pick just one.
I would agree.
It's an all-encompassing state.
I
So,
can't.
Jason and Michelle, have you been to Tennessee?
No, this would be my first trip. Yeah. I've been to Missouri.
I don't remember the town. It was a very small town that my girlfriend lived in my early 20s. I did fly into Nashville. I don't remember the name of the town, but I don't think I really got to experience
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Well, Jason and Michelle, when you guys come out next year for Storyfest, come a couple of days early and we'll go do some exciting, fun, touristy.
Deal.
Yeah.
Deal.
It'll be great. I'll take you around to all my favorite spots. I love being a tourist in my own city.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a great city to do the touristy things in and different than here. I don't, you know, we're for our friends come into town. It's like, have a good time on
Yeah.
the
Right.
strip.
Right.
Not going to the
Leave the
strip.
door unlocked.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Love
So
it.
if people want to buy your book when it comes out, are they going to be able to get it on Amazon bookstores?
Yes. So it's going to be released on ebook first. And that will be available like within the next couple of weeks after I get that final approval to them. And then it will be available for purchase as a softback starting mid-July on Amazon and Barnes and Noble Press is also picked it up to put it out there as well. So you can get it on those two places. I am also going to be selling it through my website as well. If people want to do it that way, just kind of giving people more choices to be able to get it to them.
And
And
wonderful. And if people want you to come and speak for their conference, women's conference, prisons, so forth, how do they do that?
Well, through you, of course.
Great answer, Leah.
Through you.
I like it.
Yes, contact Missy Day.
Right. Thewhatyourstory.com, Missy Day.
Missy Day.
Well, I am so, well, first of all, I just want to say I'm so glad that we connected and it's been great getting to know you and becoming friends. And I just wish you the very best with your book and your new brand and everything. And thank you for joining us today on our podcast.
Thank you guys. I'm so excited. I just so enjoy working with you guys. And it's just been such a great couple years having you guys be in my life and in my corner for support. So I just really appreciate you guys as well.
Yes, it was so good to see you, Aaliyah, and I cannot
Great to
wait
see
for the book to come out.
you. Yes, I'll let you all know.
All right. Thank you,
Thank
everybody, for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
you.
Bye.